The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
And it's Anton Savage in for Pat. And apparently there's only two things in life that affect all of us: death and taxes. We're going to be talking about the former. When we pass, where do we go? How are we getting there? I'm joined by Jonathan Stafford from Stafford Funeral Directors and Colin McAteer, who's head of the Green Graveyard, to discuss changing funeral trends and green burials and all of that kind of stuff. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Colin, Jonathan, let me start with you in respect of the cost of funerals. I imagine this has been a challenging period for you over the last 18 months, because on the one hand, you will have had to deal with masking and reduced numbers at funerals and all the rest of it. On the other hand, you will have to deal with, I assume, custom that was unusual in that people were dying in a way that they normally didn't because of COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was one of the most stressful times, now I have to say, in my life when the whole thing started happening last year. We obviously had to change everything, and as you say, masking up and just protecting families, protecting the staff, because like at the end of the day, what we do is we're looking after families and, you know, their loved ones. So to try and manage that in such a difficult time was just unbelievable. Like, I can't, you know, words kind of even, I lose the words when I'm trying to explain to people. People don't realize that, you know, how busy we were, you know, at that kind of end of March, April. And I think it was more an urban area, more, it wasn't really around the country. So I'd be talking to some of my peers around the country, and they'd be like looking at me, so what are you talking about? And we were saying, like, in Dublin in particular, it was difficult even to get to try and arrange funerals. We were so busy.
Because of the amount of deaths.
Just the surge in deaths. You just wouldn't be used to it. Like, you'd often get a little bit of a busy period in whatever, December, January. But when it happens in April and for just a really, really long period of time, you know, like, anybody can handle a couple of days here and there. And, you know, we help each other out as, you know, as competitors or, you know, frenemies or whatever you want to call us. Yeah. But so we were all busy. So I was bringing in pals from the country to give us a hand, and they just couldn't get over it either, you know, so.
Because I assume the business, not just your company individually, yeah, but the entire economics of the sector, yeah, is geared towards a certain peak amount, and yeah, that the, you know, your seasonal trends in, absolutely, deaths, like in everything else.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And
yeah,
COVID would have been a total anomaly compared to that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it was kind of, to describe it would be like, it was like a busy day, but it happened for a whole month. And until, like, the government obviously brought in, you know, the restrictions to try and limit, obviously, people meeting each other and try and, you know, calm the whole thing down. And I don't think they'd done that. You know, I wouldn't go to the extreme that the possibility of it was like Italy and some of the other places where they were digging mass graves, but, you know, it wasn't far off it, in the sense that we, you know, we probably could have brought in a lot more help from the funeral directors around the country, you know.
But I think that's interesting, because a lot of, throwing my own mind back to the time, you saw the numbers being reported on the news and you heard about the deaths, but the deaths, it wasn't like a road accident where there's footage of the crash or there's footage of the aftermath. It happened quietly in hospital settings because there wasn't much intermixing in the community. You didn't tend to meet many of the people who would say, I've lost a loved one. But you were at literally the front line at where you were seeing all, yeah, of that made real.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was in nursing homes, hospitals, you know, even in homes where, you know, two or three people passed away from it in the one house, you know. It's rare, and like, it's like, some of those poor families don't really want to talk about it, probably bring them back more emotion. And again, as you say, the difficulty around that, you know, funerals at the best of times are raw emotion, really difficult. But then when COVID comes along and takes an awful lot of that closeness away, you know, friends, family, like the guys that work with us, we were scared, you know, we, you know, because we could see it happening in other people's houses. So we didn't obviously, you know, want to then pass it on to our own families because we just didn't know anything about it. Funny enough, I met somebody only recently, and they were saying, oh, I don't believe in these masks, they don't help. And I said, look, you weren't there, you didn't see it happening, you know, they're so important just to protect other people. Whatever, protecting yourself, you don't want to protect yourself, grand, but even like have the courtesy to help other people, you know.
I suppose as well, COVID to a large degree ran a coaching and for through that thing that the Irish classically do very well, which is grieving. We do grieving and bereavement well. We have a lot of cultural systems around it, all of which were sundered by the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is. It's one thing that we do really well in Ireland. Like, I've been all over the world, obviously, you know, trying to look at and improve our business and, you know, how we can change it. But like, when you do go out there to the rest of the world, we do it so well in Ireland, you know, and that what's taken away from us with COVID, you know.
Putting COVID to one side, that thing of the methodology of grief and bereavement that the Irish have, is it changing much? Are the traditions changing as the years go? Because I think about things like, particularly in rural communities, you would have had a situation where a family friend would open the grave, where it wouldn't be done on an industrial basis, yeah, where the body would be kept overnight in the house rather, yeah, than in a home. Are those things still the absolute norm?
Ah, yeah. Yeah, they really are. Because even if as people move away from the church or whatever, they still do these things. I think it's a really nice thing to do. They bring people back to the house, lay the person out. You know, that's all very popular. And then obviously, depending on the circumstances, a lot of people still use the funeral home, and they'll, you know, we have the repose in the funeral home. Families still open the grave in rural Ireland, not so much in the city, you know. But yeah, they're all the same. There's not, you know, I know you have Colin on here with green coffins, and like, you can see that trend coming towards, you know, I can certainly see it in the last 10 years. But again, it's a kind of very slow moving industry anyway. And Colin probably can tell you that. He's probably been at it a long, long time. And it's kind of really starting to take off now.
Well, we Colin, of course, from greengraveyard.com. And Colin, having had a look at the website, it is both beautiful, but very much not what you would expect a graveyard to look like. So maybe you might describe it to us.
I think if our graveyard looked like an ordinary graveyard, we wouldn't be doing our job right. What we're doing is we're creating a graveyard that becomes a forest over time with little pathways through it. So as people die, we plant trees on the graves. That encourages nature. We put in little benches where people can come and sit and spend time in the area, the newly created woodland area and wildlife habitat that their family are now buried in. And it's something that's sort of, maybe you would have heard in the past where people would have said, oh, when I die, just bury me under that tree out there. Well, what we've done is we've taken it to a place where we have opened a location where people can actually do that. I suppose one of the things that I want to pick up, just if you don't mind, on what Jonathan said about countryside funerals and families opening the grave. During COVID, I work as a rural undertaker as well, funny. There was palpable fear out there throughout the community where people were not sure what to do. One of the things that was put to the side for a while was actually grave digging in community areas. And the funeral director had to fill that void for a stage as well. But I suppose what we're doing down in Wexford, we have our own team that dig the grave. We're creating this wildlife habitat where people can come and be at one with nature.
Did you have the same experience that Jonathan outlined in terms of the pressures of requirement for your services during the peak of COVID, and combined with people not believing that it was real?
I don't think anybody didn't believe that it was real, especially at the start. I deal with a lot of the undertakers through the Green Coffins Ireland. Funeral directors and staffers would be one of our main customers in Ireland. They buy a lot of the Eco Coffins off us. I was speaking to undertakers who lived in camper vans for 4 months. Because they had autoimmune people living in the house with them and didn't want to take their work back into the house. That has eased a little bit. The pressure seems to have eased on that. People do seem to realise that maybe it does affect a certain element of the community more than others. Colin Jonathan wants to come in.
Colin, I think when you look at the two waves, I suppose the two main waves was the first wave in April last year, and then the kind of the, I would call the second heavy wave, January, February this year. Did you not see a huge difference in terms of, like, the rural area didn't seem to be as badly affected in terms of the death rate in April last year, whereas this year everybody was affected in January, February, March, you know?
I think you said yourself earlier, Jonathan, was that maybe the rural areas weren't as badly affected as the urban areas. And yeah. I think maybe that's down to maybe a fact that a lot of the nursing homes in the urban areas were affected by COVID. Certainly, I think people learned to adapt. People learned to find solutions to grieve. That like we're talking about things like maybe standing out along the side of the road as the coffin cortege is passing rather than going to the wake house.
Yeah, that was lovely, yeah, I have to say, yeah. That was nice.
Although I assume it must be difficult. It must be difficult from your perspective, Colin, to enforce that kind of thing, because whatever about weddings or happy events where you can say to somebody, listen, will you put the mask back on? There's rules here. I assume you have to be very careful or you'd be reluctant to intervene with the bereaved.
It's funny. People have asked me that, and they always ask me about how many people are around the chapel and how many people are around the graveyard. People you're dealing with have common sense themselves. Once you speak to people and just give them a clear explanation as to why this is happening, people take that you're telling them for their own good, not for some ulterior motive, if you know what I mean. Like things like streamed funerals has just made things a lot easier. But certainly, I don't think the rural community, and most areas now, and I live in Donegal, which probably would have been known as one of the hotspots for the last 2 years for COVID. But I still don't think we were as badly affected as a lot of the urban areas.
It's an odd one to say, but obviously, like everything else, normality returns to the business of funerals and the experience of death. In that context, Jonathan, what are you seeing in terms of trends and costs? How available, for instance, in urban areas are grave sites? Is it still possible to get a grave at decent money? Are you seeing people begin to move more towards cremation, or is burial still very much the prime aim?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you were to look back over the last, let's say, 20 years, cremation has probably gone from 5, 6, 7, 8, 10% up to 45% now.
Is it that high? Nearly half for cremations?
Yeah. Now, whether that was because of COVID, I don't think it was. Graves are still available in Fingal, County Council, Glasnevin have graves. South Dublin, yeah, there is graves availability, and they are a little bit, you know, on the high end compared to the rest of the country. But I suppose, again, as you say, well, there is land shortage and the cost associated with
what's the cost of a grave?
I suppose, on average in Dublin is probably around three and a half thousand. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And in rural Ireland, significantly less?
Oh, significantly less, yeah. I mean, there's areas in Ireland where you can buy a grave for €250, you know, probably on average €500, about.
It's odd. It's not, I suppose, that it's the same real estate market, regardless of whether you're putting a house or a grave. It's the same function, same factors that apply.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. But it is interesting because I know some of the graveyards, the less costly graveyards outside the country in the kind of the greater Dublin area, let's say the commuter area, they have restrictions on, so, you know, they wouldn't allow just everybody come in because they're trying to keep the graves. They're smart enough to know that, you know, they need the graves for their purchase.
So you have to be parish or prove a link in some way.
You would see that in some of the graveyards. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, it was funny. I was in the graveyard in Holy Island in Loch Derg during the summer, and the same thing. It's still used by the local parish, even though it is a medieval archaeological site.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah.
Final thing, Jonathan, if you had advice for people, because obviously it's not something that a lot of people will give a lot of thought to until they have to give a lot of thought to it. The advice that you would give to people who find themselves needing to prepare for a funeral is what?
It's definitely have a chat with everybody in the family, have a think about what you want, and that I would, it's a great suggestion. Like, definitely talk to somebody in the family, leave your wishes behind, write them down and you know, sign them and say, look, this is what I want done. Because the amount of times that people come into me and just have no idea what the person wanted, and they're kind of, you know, plucking ideas from the air, you know, going, oh, they would have liked this. Oh, I'm not too sure about that. And I would say that would happen in 20% of the case where there's no idea. You don't even know if they have a grave.
So even if there isn't, if you're not doing a formal will or separate to the will, yeah, give somebody an indication of, listen, when the moment happens, here's what I'd like.
It's a huge relief to everybody. It really is, yeah.
Jonathan, thank you so much. That is Jonathan Stafford from Stafford Funeral Directors. And before him was Colin McAteer, who's head of the Green Graveyard. And obviously we would like to express sympathy, because there will be a lot of people who are listening who will have, either through COVID or through other causes, have lost somebody recently. And our thoughts and sympathies obviously are with you.